Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel avanzado C2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 0.
Language learning engages an extensive brain network, and juggling between different sounds, words, concepts, and grammatical and social rules enhances blood flow and connections across the entire brain.
Extract 1.
We measured their academic performances and their motor skills, and in particular we were really interested in measuring one motor skill which we call interceptive timing, which is about catching and meeting an object in space with your body. And what we found was that one particular motor skill was very closely related to and very associated to children's mathematical ability.
Extract 2.
Our breath is affects almost every organ in our body because of its effects on the part of the brain called the locus coeruleus, which is deep in the middle of the brain, and it's the only source of one of our chemical messengers in the brain called noradrenaline. And noradrenaline is the brain's equivalent of adrenaline for the body. So it's a general preparation for action, arousal, neurotransmitter. And so the way we breathe affects the carbon dioxide levels in our blood, and the locus coeruleus responds, its firing responds very, very precisely to how much carbon dioxide is in the blood at any particular moment.
Extract 3.
And link it up with some of the recent research that's been looking at the neural changes in neural activity. And neural profiles of people who are grateful. And what that research suggests is that the areas of the brain that are activated when people experience gratitude or when they undergo a gratitude intervention are the same areas of the brain that have to do with our capacity to think about the outcomes of our actions. In other words, our future thinking.
Extract 4.
Now, music therapy has been used for a while now to help people with Parkinson's disease to walk and move around more easily. But now, cutting-edge research is focusing on the smaller scale, on what are known as fine motor movements, which we need in order to do things like picking up a pen, say.
Extract 5.
You know, when you're looking at motor imagery, it's a cognitive technique. You don't expect something like strength gain. When I started reading the literature, when we started studying this area, we found that motor imagery didn't just improve our movement skill, but it actually altered the way our brain operates and the way that our physiology works.
Extract 6.
And it's not just about the impact that light has on your melatonin levels. When you're exposed to daylight, it also triggers the release of a different chemical called serotonin, which is one that makes us feel good. It's a natural mood booster. Serotonin is one of the chemicals that antidepressants boost. And it's so powerful it can actually reset your brain chemistry and perhaps even change your outlook.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 0.
Language learning engages an extensive brain network, and juggling between different sounds, words, concepts, and grammatical and social rules enhances blood flow and connections across the entire brain.
Extract 1.
We measured their academic performances and their motor skills. And in particular, we were really interested in measuring one motor skill, which we call interceptive timing, which is about catching and meeting an object in space with your body. And what we found was that one particular motor skill was very closely related to and very associated to children's mathematical ability.
Extract 2.
Our breath affects almost every organ in our body because of its effects on the part of the brain called the locus coeruleus, which is deep in the middle of the brain, and it's the only source of one of our chemical messengers in the brain called noradrenaline. And noradrenaline is the brain's equivalent of adrenaline for the body. So it's a general preparation for action, arousal, neurotransmitter. And so the way we breathe affects the carbon dioxide levels in our blood, and the locus coeruleus responds, its firing responds very, very precisely to how much carbon dioxide is in the blood at any particular moment.
Extract 3.
And link it up with some of the recent research that's been looking at the neural changes and neural activity and neural profiles of people who are grateful. And what that research suggests is that the areas of the brain that are activated when people experience gratitude or when they undergo a gratitude intervention are the same areas of the brain that have to do with our capacity to think about the outcomes of our actions. In other words, our future thinking.
Extract 4.
Now, music therapy has been used for a while now to help people with Parkinson's disease to walk and move around more easily. But now, cutting-edge research is focusing on the smaller scale, on what are known as fine motor movements, which we need in order to do things like picking up a pen, say.
Extract 5.
You know, when you're looking at motor imagery, it's a cognitive technique. You don't expect something like strength gain. When I started reading the literature, when we started studying this area, we found that motor imagery didn't just improve our movement skill, but it actually altered the way our brain operates and the way that our physiology works.
Extract 6.
And it's not just about the impact that light has on your melatonin levels. When you're exposed to daylight, it also triggers the release of a different chemical called serotonin, which is one that makes us feel good. It's a natural mood booster. Serotonin is one of the chemicals that antidepressants boost. And it's so powerful it can actually reset your brain chemistry and perhaps even change your outlook.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 0.
Growing up, my family often relied on spiritual practices to make big decisions. I'm talking drawing tarot cards to decide whether I should move apartments or drop out of school. It's a lot, I know, and I didn't always follow the answers, but at least the cards helped me realize what I wanted for myself and my future.
Extract 1.
Today, I keep up with the spiritual practice by giving tarot readings. I spent years practicing on my own before reading for other people, But when I first started, I felt like I wasn't witchy or spooky enough to learn tarot at all. What convinced me otherwise was a book by writer and tarot reader Michelle T. Michelle's book is called Modern Tarot: Connecting with Your Higher Self Through the Wisdom of the Cards. In her book, she writes about the meaning and symbolism behind each card in her very first deck, the Rider-Waite.
Extract 2.
Michelle also says there are many myths about tarot. For one, some say you should never buy your own tarot deck.
They don't need to be gifted. You can, I mean, you know, capitalism is evil, but here we are. You can buy a tarot deck, and, you know, you should buy a tarot deck and support, especially all of the independent, you know, tarot artists that are making decks these days.
Extract 3.
Well, I guess the idea behind modern tarot is that you can look at tarot, which is a really ancient tool, and you can sort of like translate it to work for your life today. So it can be really lovely if you're a person that wants to integrate more spirituality into your life or to look at life a bit more spiritually or philosophically. It's a great tool to even just pick a daily card and have a practice of a daily card that you sort of ruminate on for the day. But also, we are, you know, mundane, practical humans living our busy lives. And
yeah.
Tarot also responds wonderfully to all of our sort of petty, the petty concerns that feel very important to us as human beings.
Extract 4.
The minor arcana is divided into four kind of elements, and they're represented by symbols. So, you know, we have the suit of wands. Wands represents fire, the element of fire. And it talks about the fires we have in our bellies, the fires in our hearts, where our passions and our drives and our ambitions live. Mm-hmm. It's a really sexy suit. It's really playful. It really makes us want to get, you know, get out into the world and pursue whatever it is that we want.
Extract 5.
The suit of swords is the element of air, and air is seen as the most unstable element in the tarot. And it really is talking about, you know, it's a metaphor for our mental processes. It's the air is very much like the mind. It's electricity, it's inspiration, communication, but it's also like our inner worlds and how like we can spin out and torture ourselves, mm-hmm. right? With anxiety, worst case scenarios, things like that.
Extract
6. I also feel like sometimes you draw something or get a reading that doesn't quite click with the question you're asking. Mm-hmm. How do you move forward from that?
Yeah. Sometimes reading tarot cards is a little bit like reading poetry. Maybe it's speaking to another part of your psyche that's, you know, not that sort of rational brained part. So sometimes when I get a card like that, I just allow it to be, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just think on this. You know, maybe it's asking me to think about this kind of energy. And more is always revealed with the tarot. So sometimes, you know, something doesn't make sense in the moment, but, you know, it will make sense later on.
Extract
7.
There are infinite tarot spreads that you can do, and you can make them up yourself, which is really great. You can just sort of like ad lib and pull cards to answer whatever question is in your mind. But there are some classic spreads. The Celtic Cross is a very, very classic spread that kind of does past, present, future, what's on your mind, what's in your subconscious, you know, what's coming up for you, what's your environment look like. It touches on all these things. If you want to know about a very specific thing, like, you know, should I reach out to that person or should I not? I find 3 card readings are the perfect amount of information. One can leave you wanting more. One card can leave out possible nuances to the situation. More than 3 can be like too much information to integrate, but a 3 card reading is really excellent.
Extract
8.
I'll do like a 1 card pull every day just to sort of center mm-hmm. myself. I like to meditate and then pull a card, or vice versa. You know, it just helps you be more present and more aware mm-hmm. that there is a sort of numinous aspect to life that gets lost in the hustle bustle. And I feel like tarot can remind you of that.
Dispone ahora de 1 minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 0.
Growing up, my family often relied on spiritual practices to make big decisions. I'm talking drawing tarot cards to decide whether I should move apartments or drop out of school. It's a lot, I know, and I didn't always follow the answers, but at least the cards helped me realize what I wanted for myself and my future.
Extract 1.
Today, I keep up with the spiritual practice by giving tarot readings. I spent years practicing on my own before reading for other people, but when I first started, I felt like I wasn't witchy or spooky enough to learn tarot at all. What convinced me otherwise was a book by writer and tarot reader Michelle T. Michelle's book is called Modern Tarot: Connecting with Your Higher Self Through the Wisdom of the Cards. In her book, she writes about the meaning and symbolism behind each card in her very first deck, the Rider-Waite.
Extract 2.
Michelle also says there are many myths about tarot. For one, some say you should never buy your own tarot deck.
They don't need to be gifted. You can, I mean, you know, capitalism is evil, but here we are. You can buy a tarot deck, and, you know, you should buy a tarot deck and support, especially all of the independent, you know, tarot artists that are making decks these days.
Extract 3.
Well, I guess the idea behind modern tarot is that you can look at tarot, which is a really ancient tool, and you can sort of like translate it to work for your life today. So it can be really lovely if you're a person that wants to integrate more spirituality into your life or to look at life a bit more spiritually or philosophically. It's a great tool to even just pick a daily card and have a practice of a daily card that you sort of ruminate on for the day. But also, we are, you know, mundane, practical humans living our busy lives. And
yeah.
Tarot also responds wonderfully to all of our sort of petty, the petty concerns that feel very important to us as human beings.
Extract 4.
The minor arcana is divided into four kind of elements, and they're represented by symbols. So, you know, we have the suit of wands. Wands represents fire, the element of fire. And it talks about the fires we have in our bellies, the fires in our hearts, where our passions and our drives and our ambitions live. Mm-hmm. It's a really sexy suit. It's really playful. It really makes us want to get, you know, get out into the world and pursue whatever it is that we want.
Extract 5.
The suit of swords is the element of air, and air is seen as the most unstable element in the tarot. And it really is talking about, you know, it's a metaphor for our mental processes. It's the air is very much like the mind. It's electricity, it's inspiration, communication, but it's also like our inner worlds and how like we can spin out and torture ourselves, right? With anxiety, worst case scenarios, things like that.
Extract
6.
I also feel like sometimes you draw something or get a reading that doesn't quite click with the question you're asking. Mm-hmm. How do you move forward from that?
Yeah. Sometimes reading tarot cards is a little bit like reading poetry. Maybe it's speaking to another part of your psyche that's, you know, not that sort of rational brained part. So sometimes when I get a card like that, I just allow it to be and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just think on this, you know, maybe it's asking me to think about this kind of energy. And more is always revealed with the tarot. So sometimes, you know, something doesn't make sense in the moment, but, you know, it will make sense later on.
Extract
7.
There are infinite tarot spreads that you can do, and you can make them up yourself, which is really great. You can just sort of like ad lib and pull cards to answer whatever question is in your mind. But there are some classic spreads. The Celtic Cross is a very, very classic spread that kind of does past, present, future, what's on your mind, what's in your subconscious, you know, what's coming up for you, what's your environment look like. It touches on all these things. If you want to know about a very specific thing, like, you know, should I reach out to that person or should I not? I find 3 card readings are the perfect amount of information. One can leave you wanting more. One card can leave out possible nuances to the situation,
More than three can be like too much information to integrate, but a three card reading is really excellent.
Extract
8.
I'll do like a one card pull every day just to sort of center myself. I like to meditate and then pull a card, or vice versa. You know, it just helps you be more present and more aware that there is a sort of numinous aspect to life that gets lost in the hustle bustle. And I feel like tarot can remind you of that.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Tarea 3. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Although smoking now is largely seen as a fatal vice, 2,000 years ago, in North America, pipe smoking was a fundamental ceremonial and religious part of human life. Different groups of Native Americans lived across the continent in ways much more varied than what's been caricatured since in the Westerns. While the small farming and trading communities seem to have lived apart, they died together, joining forces to build enormous earthworks as gathering places for ceremonies and to bury their dead. These spectacular sculpted burial mounds would later astonish visiting Europeans. One in particular is in present-day Ohio, popularly known as Mound City, an enclosed 13-acre site with 24 separate burial mounds. And in one of them there were around 200 stone pipes, one of which is our otter pipe. The pipe I have here is about the size and shape of a kazoo, the children's toy music pipe that makes buzzing sounds when you blow through it. So it's not like any normal modern pipe with a long stem and a bowl at one end. This one is carved in reddish stone and has a flat base about 4 inches long, so it's almost exactly the colour and the size of a Bourbon biscuit. And at one end is carved a small hole to serve as the mouthpiece. The pipe bowl is halfway down, but it's no simple hollow for holding the tobacco, because it's in the shape of the upper half of a swimming otter, with its paws perched on the bank of the river, and it looks as though it's just popped up out of the water to look around. The stone is smooth, and to me it beautifully suggests the sleek, wet fur of the animal. This wonderfully crafted and evocative object pinpoints in history the world's earliest use of tobacco pipes. The animal world appears to have had a central role in the spiritual life of these people, and perhaps the animals on the pipes had a role in some kind of shamanic ritual that would connect the physical and the spiritual worlds. The tobacco smoked at the time was Nicotiana rustica, and we know that that produces a heightened state of awareness and even has a hallucinogenic effect. Our otter pipe is just one of a whole pipe menagerie, and given that you would be eyeball to eyeball with the creature sculpted on it, we can imagine the smoker entering into a kind of transcendent state in which the animal would come to life. For most of the 20th century, film stars puffed away on screen while their cinema audiences admired them through answering clouds of smoke. Smoking was not only sophisticated, it was intellectual and meditative. And there was, of course, also the intensely enjoyable personal engagement with the physical object.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Although smoking now is largely seen as a fatal vice, 2,000 years ago in North America, pipe smoking was a fundamental ceremonial and religious part of human life. Different groups of Native Americans lived across the continent in ways much more varied than what's been caricatured since in the Westerns. While the small farming and trading communities seemed to have lived apart, they died together, joining forces to build enormous earthworks as gathering places for ceremonies and to bury their dead. These spectacular sculpted burial mounds would later astonish visiting Europeans. One in particular is in present-day Ohio, popularly known as Mound City, an enclosed 13-acre site with 24 separate burial mounds. And in one of them, there were around 200 stone pipes, one of which is our otter pipe. The pipe I have here is about the size and shape of a kazoo, the children's toy music pipe that makes buzzing sounds when you blow through it. So it's not like any normal modern pipe with a long stem and a bowl at one end. This one is carved in reddish stone and has a flat base about 4 inches long, so it's almost exactly the colour and the size of a Bourbon biscuit, and at one end is carved a small hole to serve as the mouthpiece. The pipe bowl is halfway down, but it's no simple hollow for holding the tobacco, because it's in the shape of the upper half of a swimming otter, with its paws perched on the bank of the river, and it looks as though it's just popped up out of the water to look around. The stone is smooth, and to me it beautifully suggests the sleek, wet fur of the animal. This wonderfully crafted and evocative object pinpoints in history the world's earliest use of tobacco pipes. The animal world appears to have had a central role in the spiritual life of these people, and perhaps the animals on the pipes had a role in some kind of shamanic ritual that would connect the physical and the spiritual worlds. The tobacco smoked at the time was Nicotiana rustica, and we know that that produces a heightened state of awareness and even has a hallucinogenic effect. Our otter pipe is just one of a whole pipe menagerie, and given that you would be eyeball to eyeball with the creature sculpted on it, we can imagine the smoker entering into a kind of transcendent state in which the animal would come to life. For most of the 20th century, film stars puffed away on screen while their cinema audiences admired them through answering clouds of smoke. Smoking was not only sophisticated, it was intellectual and meditative. And there was, of course, also the intensely enjoyable personal engagement with the physical object.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 3. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.